Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Verse 15.
Okay.
Yatva dharma suto raja. Gada parnir vikodara. Krishna stri gandivam chapam. Sudit Krishnas tato vipat. Yatra dharma suto raja. Kada parnir vrikodara. Krishna stri ganjivam japam. Sudit Krishnas tato vipat. Yatra.
Where there is
Dharma Sutaha,
the son of Dharma Raja,
Raja,
the king,
Kadapanihi,
with his mighty club in hand.
Vikodaraha.
Bhima.
Krishna.
Arjuna.
Astri.
Carrier of the weapon.
Gandivam.
Gandiva.
Chapam.
Bow.
Surit.
Well-wisher.
Krishna.
Lord Krishna. The personality of Godhead.
Tataha.
Thereof.
Vipat.
Reverse. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhishthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion? Bhima, the great fighter with a club. The great bowman, Arjuna, with his mighty weapon, Gandiva. And above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. Purport. As far as the material or spiritual resources were required, there was no scarcity in the case of the Pandavas. Materially, they were well-equipped, because two great warriors, namely Bhima and Arjuna, were there. Spiritually, the king was himself the symbol of religion, and above all of them was the personality of Godhead. Lord Sri Krishna was personally concerned with their affairs as the well-wisher. And yet there were so many reverses on the side of the Pandavas. Despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons under the direct supervision of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, inevitable time. Kala is identical with the Lord himself. And therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord himself. There is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. Actually, everything is the arrangement of Krishna. How can it be that when such uniquely competent heroes are there and they're cooperating together as brothers, how can it be that they're suffering so much frustration and they're not able to carry out the principles of righteousness, that they're being obstructed in such a way? Of course, it's all been resolved. This is after the battle has been won. But why did they have to go through so much trouble just to establish themselves in their proper position? Why so much trouble? So Bhishma concludes, Sarvam Kala Kritam Manye Bhavato Bhavatam Cha Yada Priyam. All these unpleasant things that happen to you, it must be the effect of time. Because Krishna is sitting right there. It would be impolite to say, Krishna, it's all your fault. Also, Krishna is taking the role of a younger family member. Bhishma is the elder, the eldest of the family, the most respected. And Krishna's a young man. He's even not a member directly of that family. He's just a visitor. So socially, it's not right to say that, talk about him being the Supreme Lord in this situation. It just not only is it impolite, it's rasa-basa. The relationship, the mood is that here's Krishna, our friend who's visiting from Dwarka. He's a visitor, a friend. So, it's just not consistent with the mood to talk about him as the supreme controller of everything. Of course, he ends up doing that. He maintains this mood for a few verses of blaming it all on time. This impersonal energy that controls all of us. Anything that is out of your control, you can blame it on time. Just as when Bali tried to stop the demons from further fighting when they were losing against Indra, he told them that the time is not right, that we have to await the suitable time, and time is controlling us. So he told the demons, desist now, and we'll figure out a way later on to defeat our enemies. So that's the general, that's the common concept, that time is the control of everything. Not realizing that time is just Krishna's personal energy. It's just the means through which he expresses his intentions, his plans and desires. He expresses through the power of time. But it doesn't suit the mood here, at least until Bhishma. First of all, he has to present Krishna as what he seems to be, sitting in front of him, in front of them, the friend of the family. Then a few verses later, he can come out and say, Eshavai Bhagavan Sakshad Adyo Narayana Puman Mayaya Mohayan Vishram Gudas Charati Vishnishu. Actually, 1 minute later, he says, actually, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who bewilders the entire universe by his personal potency, Maya. Kala is just one aspect of the guna Maya, of the energy of the Lord, or rather the jiva Maya, the energy of the Lord that bewilders and dominates the living entities. Time is one factor in that system of control that is all simply carrying out the will of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gudas Charati Vishnishu. And he's hiding himself, disguising himself as another member of the Vishni dynasty. Your allies, the Pandavas, have depended on the Vrishnis to help them win this battle. As you know, the Vrishni army was on the other side. The choice was there. They were allies. But at the final moment, Krishna let Arjuna and Duryodhana take their choice. Either have me or have my army. And Arjuna chose Krishna. Who got the first choice? Arjuna or Duryodhana? Got the first choice, and he took the army. And Arjuna, by default, was left with Krishna. So the Vrishnis ended up fighting against the Pandavas by circumstance. Krishna donated his army to Duryodhana. But actually, the Vrishnis and Pandavas are great allies. Kevayam namarupabhyam Vishnibhiksa Pandavaha. They're put together as allied dynasties. The Vrishnis and the Pandavas are natural allies. They've always been. So Krishna is disguising himself as a minor prince of the ally dynasty of the Vrishnis. But actually, Bhima knows, and he's telling the Pandavas, and they know already anyway, that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, Narayana, and he's in control of everything, including that time that we're blaming everything for. But otherwise, how could it be that these super powerful heroes, all five of them together, working together in perfect cooperation, that they couldn't overcome for so long, could not prevent Duryodhana from doing all that, harassing them so much? Why were they helpless in the face of Duryodhana? Of course, why was Bhishma himself? Why didn't he stand up to Duryodhana and stop him? Nobody stopped him. That is all, Bhishma concludes, just the arrangement of time. Time acts to give us the results of our karmic activities. We do good, we do bad, and in the course of time, the results are meted out to us. An astrologer can look at your horoscope and he sees a map of the karmic results of what you did in the past. And he can map out when in the future what will happen to you. That's the business of an astrologer. What will happen when? But it's all just a map of your karma. The map is measured in the dimension of time. The astrologer, give the astrologer the time of birth, the time of a particular event, and he can tell you everything based just on the independent variable of time. Everything else can be determined in terms of time. What will happen, what has happened, what will happen, what is happening right now. Also a physician, an Ayurvedic doctor, he's treating the symptoms of your diseases, but he understands, in theory, that it's your past sins that you're suffering. He'll tell the patient, be patient. You want immediate treatment. You want immediate cure. But you've sinned for so long, you've lived improperly for so long, and now you're suffering the consequences. So expect that it will take you some time to get cured and some trouble because you've done so much nonsense to get yourself in this condition. He understands, the doctor understands, that it's the law of karma that's acting out through time. And therefore, he does not promise instant relief. Just swallow this pill and everything will go away. No, it doesn't work like that. We have done wrong in the past, and therefore, to rectify everything will take time. Normally, people living entities have to suffer the reactions of their karma. They have to enjoy the reactions of their good activities and suffer the disturbances and pain caused by their bad activities in the past. And they have to wait for the time to play out. In course of time, we normal living entities, enjoy and suffer the reactions as the time passes. Gradually, their karmic reactions are used up. Shine punye marcha lokam vishanti. Those who can go to heavenly planets, they can stay there for a long time. But the time is the clock is ticking. And when the time comes that they've used up all their pious credits, they have to come back down to the earth. All under the control of time. It's a matter of time. At the right time, the right thing happens. And it's all under perfect control. That's for the non-devotees. But the devotees of the Lord become free to the degree that they are devoted, to the degree that they're surrendered. Devotees are relieved of all karmic control, and that means to be relieved of the control of time. Devotees transcend time. They're actually liberated from the cycle of birth and death. Even though their body is going to die, but they're liberated. They won't take another body. Naiti mamiti sorjana. The pure devotee will not have to take birth again, and he'll enter the realm of timelessness by having taken pure shelter of Krishna. Even while he's still in the material body, and even while the material body still has its destined time to get sick, to get old, to die, it's all there in the horoscope. It's all there on the lines of your hand. It's all there. You know, when you'll get sick, when you'll get old, when you'll die, when this and that will happen to you. It can all be measured with reasonable accuracy, although astronomy is not an exact science, but an astronomer can tell you so many details of your life and maybe with 80% accuracy if he's good. But a devotee is relieved of that. The body will still, to some extent, suffer its karma. We're relieved of some of it, but the body will still get old and die. It may die young, but it will die at least. But the soul is freed. The person is freed. He won't take another body again. Naiti mamiti sorjana. He goes to Krishna. So actually, that's already the situation of the Pandavas. They're liberated souls from birth. They're eternal associates of Krishna. This is actually philosophically a wrong statement, that it's because of the force of time that the Pandavas had to suffer. The Pandavas never really were under the influence of time. They're liberated souls. But they're acting as if they're not. And Bhishma is looking at it as if they're not liberated souls. As if they, like everybody else, are under the control of time. It's actually Krishna's pastimes. A different kind of time. Pastime. Lila. It's the way Krishna passes his time. Not under the influence of karma, but doing what he wants. Playing. The children don't have to go to school. They don't have to go to work. They waste all their time playing. Leela. Krishna also doesn't have to go to work. He doesn't have to go to school. He doesn't have to struggle to maintain his family. He can maintain everything without working, without going to school, and without submitting to any force of time. He uses the time for his own pleasure, and that is his leela, his pastimes. But the devotees who are fully cooperative with Krishna are part of those pastimes. They're participants. Pastimes are enacted in conjunction with the devotees, not just Krishna playing with himself, but he's always enjoying with his devotees. So as Krishna is free from the influence of time, so are the devotees who are participating in Krishna's leela. This is the key to becoming free from the influence of time. You have to become a participant in Krishna's leela. There is no other complete release from the influence of time. Even so-called mukti, as strived for by the impersonalists, is not ultimate freedom from time. Avruhya krichtrena param padam tata patanti adho nadviti yushmadam grayaha. Those who think themselves liberated, presume that they're liberated, they may even leave the material world and enter the spiritual sky. But if they haven't developed actual love and attachment for Krishna, then they are likely to fall down again. Patantyato, they fall from that position if they aren't actual devotees. The impersonalists cannot attain real liberation. They're not ultimately free from the influence of time. They can be recaptured by that influence because of their lack of devotion. But that cannot happen to great devotees like the Pandavas. Not just great heroes, but perfect devotees and eternal associates of Krishna. It's very unusual for Kshatriyas to be so cooperative. Kshatriyas will cooperate if they have a common enemy or some specific common purpose. They will form an alliance. But basically, each Kshatriya has the urge to be the controller. And so it's unnatural. It requires a special unnatural effort for Kshatriyas to cooperate with one another. Their natural tendency is to fight with one another for supremacy. Each one wants to be supreme among the Kshatriyas. So to find five such powerful heroes who are in perfect harmony with one another and always cooperate is practically unique. You don't see such a situation. Put five super powerful Kshatriyas together and you have a fight. You don't have an alliance, a permanent alliance like this among these five brothers. And just because they're brothers doesn't mean they'll automatically be harmony either. There's so many cases in history of a king murdering his brothers in order to secure his position, or someone becoming the king by murdering his brothers. So many cases in history, and not just among the Muslims. Yeah. It's there in history. So many cases of fratricide in the name of gaining power and maintaining power. So just because they're brothers doesn't mean automatically they would be so cooperative. It's so rare. It's unique, this situation of these five heroes, each one of them on their own could conquer the world. They're working together like the five fingers on one hand. That is simply the influence of their devotion to Krishna. Devotees can work together, cooperate, to the degree that they're actually surrendered and mature in devotional service. If your faith is weak, then you'll be quarreling with your godbrothers. If your faith is strong and matured, if your trust in Krishna is strong, then quarrels diminish. Then you can live peacefully with your godbrothers and with the rest of the world. You don't have enemies when you're seriously dedicated to Krishna and you trust in his protection. Krishna rakshishati iti vishwaso. This is a symptom of sharanagati, of proper surrender and attainment of the stage of nishta, is that you trust that Krishna will always protect me in all circumstances. When you fully trust Krishna's protection, then you don't have any enemies anymore. You're confident that no one can do harm to you, and therefore you don't see anybody as a threat, and you don't have to treat anybody as an enemy, especially the other Vaishnavas. If our faith is weak, then we're quarreling with one another. It's really, the problem is we don't trust Krishna enough. Therefore, we can't trust one another. But the problem, the root problem, is lack of trust in the Supreme and lack of and incomplete surrender and dedication. Therefore, we may be reflecting the nature of this age of quarrel, where we may also be quarreling, but it's because of weak faith. We can see these great devotees who have perfect faith. They had a fight with enemies, but at least they never became enemies among one another, the Pandavas. May have been. There were disagreements and arguments, but they never became one another's enemies. Even in such an environment of enmity and envy, at least they were trusting friends among one another, always. Even if we're not Kshatriyas, we're supposed to be Brahmanas, we can learn from the Pandavas how cooperative we can be, how able to work together to do amazing things for Krishna. It's possible if we have strong faith in Krishna's protection. Even though we're imperfect, if we're under the shelter of the perfect, then yasman no dvijate loko loka no dvijate yata. Then a devotee who is fully trusting Krishna, he doesn't cause disturbance to anybody, and he's not disturbed by anybody, no matter what anybody does. He's getting shelter from Krishna, protection from all disturbances. Okay, so I'll stop. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Arjuna got the first chance to pick Krishna or his army. Yeah.
Duryodhana said that even if you would have given me the first chance, I would have chosen the army.
Okay. Didn't make a difference, but Arjuna got the first chance. First choice.
Brilliant. I wanted to clarify that the time, it's impersonal, but then you also said that it's the personal energy of Krishna. So the Purusha behind the time, is that a separate Kala Purusha, or is there Krishna as a Purusha?
Well, Krishna expands himself into specific Kala Purusha, but it's just him in another form. The same person, but he assumes a particular expanded form as specifically the controller of time. First of all, he expands as Mahavishnu, and then an expansion of Mahavishnu would be Mahakala, the controller of time. But that's Krishna. This is Krishna appearing in a different form. Yes, Sarvagya.
I have two questions. First one is technical and second one is philosophical. Why Arjuna is called Krishna in this verse?
Well, he's got the same color as Krishna. He looks very similar to Krishna. He has the same complexion. Uh-huh. So he's Krishna's called Krishna because he's Krishna color, and so is Arjuna. So is Draupadi.
Mm-hmm. So in this
one
verse,
one reason why he's called Krishna.
Hey Krishna, Krishna Saka, Vrishni, Rishabhana, Druk. Is it also referred to Arjuna? Krishna Saka?
Yeah, Krishna, Krishna Saka. That's Arjuna's friend. I don't know how else you would interpret that. Krishna, Krishna Saka.
Uh-huh. Okay. So
if it was Draupadi's friend, then it would be the Striling is not deleted there, right? So it would be Krishna Saka. Right?
Mm-hmm. And the philosophical question is about.
Dvaipayana Vyasa is also Krishna. Yes.
It's about surrender. So yes, we want to surrender Krishna, we want Krishna's protection, but at the same time, when devotee, he feels himself very humble, and he thinks that, who am I to force Krishna to come to save me from my troubles, to arrange my affairs in my life. But at the same time, he understands that Krishna, he is a final shelter. Like in the case of in his class, Bertram Prabhu, he told about Gajendra,
yes,
that he wanted only Krishna to be his savior. And therefore,
well,
only Krishna came.
Devotee may think about this. He may speculate that a devotee may speculate that I don't deserve any shelter, I shouldn't expect any. But then he'll say, well, Krishna gives shelter to all devotees. You know, and I'm maybe the worst devotee, but I'm trying to serve him, so I should expect his. So he may argue with himself back and forth. But the argument is settled when Krishna gives so much protection that you can't ignore it. You can't but admit that Krishna is protecting you, because Krishna is showering you with protection. You can think about it, but when Krishna pours his protection down on you, then you have to accept it. You have to acknowledge it.
Can we have this meditation that maybe not Krishna himself, but Krishna will just arrange everything for us through the devotees, through the spiritual master?
Yeah, that's Krishna's not. Okay, you know, Krishna's not giving me direct personal attention. He's doing it indirect. Okay, you can think like that.
So we can be satisfied just by Krishna's arrangement and just
see Krishna. It's Krishna's arrangement. If Krishna is doing it through his agents, he's doing it. It's not any less glorious that he's doing it through his agents. It's more glorious that he can do it without. You know, look at Krishna. He can take care of everything without lifting a finger. That's even more wonderful. If you're in desperate need, you know, of money, and your rich friend just makes a phone call and makes an arrangement for you to get the money, that's good enough. He doesn't have to come personally and hand it to you. If you get the money, you're happy. Sri Krishna.
You told people suffering because of his past karma.
Yes.
Sometimes we see devotee also suffering. This is because of past karma or something else?
Well, I was talking about the non-devotees. So, if we're fully devoted, then you can't say properly that we're suffering karmic reactions. We have to trust Krishna's statement that if you fully surrender to him, then you transcend the influence of maya. But the situation may be that we're not fully surrendered, we're partly surrendered. Then if we're partly surrendered, we get some karmic reactions still. You know, some percentage will still come. It's up to Krishna to adjust the exact percentage. But we're only partly relieved if we're only partly surrendered. So if we're in the middle, then some karmic reactions may still be coming. Yes. Yes.
Just it's related. To which extent can we believe to horoscope, to astrology in our case when we surrender to Krishna.
Well, what do we need it for? We may, you know, if we trust Krishna completely, then it doesn't matter what our karma is. Maybe it's useful to decide how to do your service. Maybe. And then if you're going to use astrology in determining, you know, when to do something auspicious, you know, or this or that, or whether you should do A or B, make sure you go to a very competent astrologer. Same thing with Ayurvedic medicine. There's so many incompetent Ayurvedic doctors, and there's so many incompetent astrologers. So you, if you're going to use an astrologer, find a good one. And use it appropriately to determine how to do your service, not to determine whether to do your service. You know, don't go to an astrologer who's going to talk you out of doing service. You know, do some ritual instead. Pay me a lot of money and we'll do a karmakanda ritual for you. We'll buy you expensive stones. Spend all your money on that. Then your astrologer is helping you deviate from the path of devotional service by convincing you to do something other than pure devotion. So go to, if you're going to go to astrologer, go to astrologer will help you decide which service to do, not whether to do service to Krishna. Okay. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories. Oh, sorry, you had a question. Yeah. Please. Yes.
Commenting on this, he had a doubt that Krishna personally does or through his energies. Then he struck this and he went for a Madhukari, a Bhiksha something.
Who is that? Okay.
Then when he came back, his wife told that two boys, one black and white, they came with marks on their back and yes. said that their husband had beaten something like that.
Yeah.
So then later on he understood that it's Krishna and Balaram, means that Krishna personally does with, yes. Something. It's always, what is authenticity or it's...
Yes, and he defaced the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna got all scratched up because he scratched the Gita. And Krishna, anyway, Krishna's insistent. No, I said it, I mean it. Vahami. I personally bring the yoga and nikshema. I personally bring to the devotee what he needs, and I personally protect what he has. You know, just like a servant carrying, you know, breakfast to you in bed on a plate, on a tray, Krishna like that delivers it personally. That's what he says, and he means what he says. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.